This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Yes, this is Joy 94.9 and you're on Lefty Pinkos. I'm Emma and Brian unfortunately couldn't be in the studio again tonight. So just like last week, I have the fabulous Patrick in to help me out as co-host. Welcome back again, Patrick.
Thank you. I am taking over.
I'm okay with that. You are fun to have in the studio. Not that Brian isn't fun. If you're listening out there, Brian, I do miss you. Patrick is also fun, though.
Thank you very much. I feel that megalomania is a good shade on me.
So is green.
Thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me back. It is an absolute pleasure joining Lefty Pinkos, one of my favourite shows here at Joy. So it's good.
And I want to give a shout out to Chris yet again this week for coming in to help out with the panelling. Thanks, Chris. Now, on tonight's show, we have Jason Toison McSheen. I wrote that down, so I hope that I pronounced it correctly. And Sharon Yeo from the Australian Equality Party. So this is a brand new political party that launched earlier this year. It reached its 500 members to become a political party. There will be a launch at midsummer next year. There's a fundraising event coming up next weekend, I think it is, the 9th of November. So we've got Jason and Sharon in. Jason is the founder of the party. Sharon looks after volunteers and membership. So we're going to talk equality, basically, and what the party stands for. So that's what we've got look forward to tonight.
Really?
You're pretty excited about that, aren't you, Patrick?
I am quite excited. I heard about the Australia Equality Party at Pride March earlier this year, and I actually was really interested at the time to pick their brains even more so, because there's a lot of interesting things here that I want to investigate. So I'm looking forward to the rest of this hour here. So thank goodness I got to join you on this one, Emma.
So we're going to hear after this song, we're going to hear Patrick pick Jason and Sharon's brain, basically. The first song.
It may get messy.
Jason, I'm told, is a big ABBA fan, so our first song tonight is Dancing Queen by ABBA.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. You're with Emma and Patrick tonight, and we are here with Jason and Sharon from the Australian Equality Party. I would like to just hear a little bit about your backgrounds and how you got involved with the party.
Well, literally it was 1 year ago and maybe an extra week or two after the last election, where myself and a couple of lesbian parented families, friends of mine, were having lunch, and we're like, do we sit and whinge for another 6 years?
Six?
Well, two terms. So often governments stay for two terms. So it felt... Look, I know. But that's the reality of it. It's not uncommon for... One-term governments are not common. So we were like, and we were tired of marching at rallies, and we're tired of... I was one of the Equal Love original founders with Midsummer and Midwinter Vows, and one of the original founders of Australian Marriage Equality a long time ago, and tired of petitions. And you know what? And it just came out, and I'd been thinking about it for a while. We need our own independent voice inside the parliament. And we don't have that. And they looked at me and sort of laughed at first. And then by the end of the 2-hour lunch, we're like, we should do this. And that's where it started. And literally 12 months later, we are a fully registered fledgling party. And we are the world's first LGBTI-centered political party ever, which is a sad and a good thing. Sad that our mainstream parties haven't taken care of us properly. And good, though, that we can now self-determine, speak for ourselves, and not hang off the coattails of anyone else anymore. And I think it's, you know, I love what our friends do in the Greens and Sex Party and Labour Party and the Fewer and the Liberal Party. And I always champion them, but it's time for us to speak for ourselves.
Particularly, I'm interested to know, because you talk a little bit about being the first LGBTIQ party as such? Was this just in Australia or is this worldwide?
It's worldwide. And we didn't know that when we formed it. We found that after Pride, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so, because we never thought about it. There's no ego in any of this. It's actually just out of, hey, how about we speak for ourselves now?
Mm.
And there are so many things that need to happen, not just marriage equality, so many things that need to happen for our families to you know, removal of criminal convictions, to having actual proper education in our schools, legislated where true diversity is happening in your education. It happens in some high schools with the Safe Schools Coalition, but in primary school, there's no mention. We are a valid part of the community, and we are worthy of having our own party. And all my life, I remember the first time I was called a poof when I was 8. And
interesting feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, and I didn't even know. I knew I was gay. But I was like, why are they calling me this name? And why is this name following me when I didn't even come out till I was 28? And so, you know, I always felt like, you know, oh, there's something about me that's really bad. And all I ever heard was bad things. And now as a 44-year-old man, I know that that's bullshit and not true. And there's nothing wrong with me. And in fact, we're trying to not just get elected, but we want to help move the conversation from where we're tolerated or even accepted, which is where I think Australia sort of is right now, to where we're actually affirmed and celebrated. Because I don't just tolerate you, Patrick, or accept you. I actually celebrate you and affirm you. And you have fabulous hair, by the way. I was saying off air. He has lovely red hair.
Thank you very much.
Merlot red.
Peroxide Merlot, yeah. My dear.
But we need to be affirmed and celebrated as part of the true diversity that is, you know, the Australian community. And I actually don't care who a person sleeps with as long as it's legal and consensual.
Most particularly, I think, the consensual part.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but they're the two sort of the parameters in my mind. And it's not, you know, in the LGBTIQ or P or A or the diverse sexuality and gender peoples, it's not actually the sex that brings us together. It's the homophobia that we've all had, the phobia we've had to deal with.
The homophobia, the transphobia, the general discrimination and bigotry. Right. Now, but we'll get right back to focusing more. I'm interested because my dear Sharon here, I'm interested to know how you got involved with this crazy, wonderful idea that started back at a luncheon.
Yes.
Earlier, so.
Well, yes. Well, like Jason, I had become increasingly disappointed and frustrated with the direction that the major parties were taking our country. And I felt very motivated to want to bring about some positive changes, to bring about more equality and equity within society. So I just started toying with the idea of standing as an independent, or toying with the idea of starting my own party. And I was toying with the name, you know, the Happy Party, or, you know, the Bright Futures Party, and thought about, you know, the Australian Equality Party. And then one day, one fateful day, I was in Sydney and I was browsing through the Sydney Morning Herald, and I saw a notice in the paper by the Australian Electoral Commission notifying that the Australian Equality Party was seeking registration.
So someone had stolen your
That's
party name,
right.
Basically.
And I sat there thinking, who stole my name?
And I'm guessing that you found them banged on the doors and said, mine!
Right. Who are you? And so I looked them up, and it was and I discovered that it was founded by, you know, a bunch of LGBTI people. And I thought, fantastic. What a great coincidence. And I contacted Jason, and here we are.
Here we are. Yes, indeed. We are on Joy 94.9. This is Lefty Pinkos. And coming up, we'll be talking even more about the Australian Equality Party.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This is Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. You're with Emma and Patrick tonight. We've got Jason and Sharon from the Australian Equality Party. What does the party stand for? We've heard a bit about how it was established over a lunch one day, but what do you actually stand for?
I guess our primary goal is to be a human rights party with a GLBTI heart. So we have three key words: human rights, fairness, and equality. And we want to be an independent voice for our community. So one of the reasons we formed was it's really important. I think we all feel a bit powerless and voiceless, and even one of our members said, you know, we hang off the tails of the other parties, and I actually think it's really important that we mature now and stand up and speak for ourselves and self-determine. So that's probably the biggest aim we've got. And, you know, marriage equality is very important, and some people say, oh, you're the marriage equality party. Well, we're not. For me, I was married in Canada 10 and a half years ago and non-legally married to Adrian 14 years ago. So I would like that to be fixed because it's really important. We've got a son who's 8. But there are so many things that need to change and need to be agitated for us. And who better to do that than ourselves?
I suppose what's been interesting for us seeing the progression is the fact that early on, we could see this as just the tip of the iceberg, was this idea of marriage equality. But further on, and looking at a lot of your proposed policies, because there isn't like a solid one yet. This is coming out in February.
So what we're doing on it's pretty exciting. So February 1st at Pride, just maybe an hour or two before the march, in the park there, we're going to have a little event, and we're going to launch our LGBTI policy platform, mm-hmm. which has been worked on for over 6 months now and heavily consulted. And if there's any listeners out there who want to contribute, feel free. We've pretty much spoken to everybody and anybody mm-hmm. and asked them what needs to happen for transgender Australians, what needs to happen for intersex Australians, what needs to happen for lesbian parented families, what needs to happen around criminal sex convictions, what needs to happen for old age citizens, what needs to happen in education, what do young people need? I was with them last night. It's really important that we felt that we can somehow put together what we're going to call the gold standard around our policy platform. So I know some of our friends in some key places have said to us, we want to be able to just point to your policy platform when other parties say what needs to happen and say, here it is. So what needs to happen for all of us to be equal? Well, it'll be there. And it's going to be a living document. It's not going to be a perfect document. It's going to change and grow. But where we don't have answers, we have connections with everyone of area of our community, and we can go, we can ask and say, well, how do you feel about this? And the goal is, if I can be elected to the Senate in 2016, anyone in our community can approach myself and our party and say, Jason, this is what needs to happen. This is what's important to us. And we will listen, and we will then tell our stories and agitate for that. And one person and one party can make a difference in this. That's where the Senate is the right place to aim for a party like ours. So people, we were talking before, but we're not a left or right leaning party. We're not a just a gay party. We're not just for atheists or religious people. We're not just for straight or gay people. We're for everybody. And we really believe that our voice can say something quite powerful.
When you talk particularly about the fact that your party is neither left or right, or particularly of one, if you'll excuse the pun, bent, yeah. but... but particularly, you were mentioning before the fact that, you know, you're trying to encompass all facets of the diversity of our rainbow communities. That's going to be a big challenge. I can already foresee that to be a huge challenge for one person.
Extraordinary challenge, and it started with us working out just what acronym we used at the start. We spent a lot of time on that, to talking and listening to anybody and everybody who'd want to speak to us, because we just thought we actually need to be above any divisions. I've met with lots of people, and I've actually heard different people whinge about other people in the community, and I'll listen, but I don't engage in that, because it's actually above that now. It's time. And I've noticed what I've been really excited by is that we all sort of seem to know now we're all in this together, and if we all work with each other and all do our little bits, then the change will continue to happen really quite quickly. And that's why I think things are changing quite fast, and I think that's the key. And it's not an easy thing to do, but if we listen and we are a vessel for people to then speak through, then I think we've done our job properly. Because I don't own these concepts. They're out there, and everybody owns their own concepts, and we're just putting them all in the one place and synthesizing them together.
Now, you've mentioned that you'll be launching at Pride on February 1st your LGBTIQ policy. What about policy in other areas? Is that something that will come down the track?
So we've got a three-stage plan. So the first year was setting up the foundation, getting registered, which we've done that, putting our LGBTI policy together, raising some funds, and getting ready for a launch in February. Second year, then we'll consult heavily with our membership and with whoever wants to, actually, around the broader areas of human rights, fairness, and equality. So we will have something to say about a whole stack of things. And then in the third year, it's election year. That's when we're going to actually ask people to vote for us. So that's sort of the plan. You can't do it all in one day, and we want to make sure it's a team combined effort, and it's consulted, and it's not just someone making things up on the fly.
So you're going to run for a Senate seat in 2016.
Yes.
Will there be other party members running for Senate seats as well, or just yourself?
The goal right now, because this is all volunteers, is to one senator 2016. After then, we expect to grow very rapidly and very fast. We have members all over the country. We have people wanting to start up groups all over the place, actually. But right now, our volunteers and the task is so huge. To go from nothing to a Senate seat is massive. We don't have Clive's millions of dollars to play with. And it's hard work and it's grassroots. So that's our tight focus, a three-year focus. And then, but we expect to be fully national in our approach over the coming years.
Just speaking a little bit more about the fact that we're looking at this, how it's going to branch out further on, and particularly about your current membership that you've got. I mean, we were talking about some statistics earlier. Forgive me, I can't speak tonight by the sound of it. And I was quite interested to hear the figures there because, as we said, the party basically really strives for diversity. Now, what kind of diversity are we currently seeing in the members that you have?
It's fantastic. I think, in fact, we've got a fundraiser that's sold out that's coming up in a week and a half's time. We're 35 to 40% right-leaning mm-hmm. voters. The rest are left or central. We have
that's what we like.
Yeah, we have 30
lefty pinkos.
So we have 30% of our members are not gay, straight. They're straight. They're not GLBTI. We have religious people. We have atheist people. We have young people. We have older people, and we have people of every color and nationality background. So mm-hmm. it's just fantastic, and it really is about. It's not about being left or right anymore. This is about being decent. And having an approach that deals with the areas of fairness, equality and human rights, which are missing from our current federal parliament.
You're here on Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're here on Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9 with Emma and Pat. And we are speaking with Jason and Sharon from the Australian Equality Party. Wonderful to continue having a chat. Now, we were talking a bit about statistics. Now, there's one statistic that I'm curious to know, and that is gender and people who are transgender and cisgender. So do we know those figures?
Yeah, well, it's basically a probably 48-48 mix, and the other 4 or 5% are our transgender intersex persons, and mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And in fact, even our team, there's 14 of us, it'd be 7-7. Like, it would actually be working on it, would be 7-7. I don't know if it's been intentional, but so I'm the leader of the party. Our deputy leader is Jackie Tomlins, and she's fabulous as well. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've met Jackie, but she's brilliant.
I have not met Jackie, but I will one day.
I'm
sure I will. Particularly, I'm going to jump in here, Emma. I know that you're ready, I'm particularly interested to see. Just ask Sharon, when you heard about the Australian Equality Party and after rampaging and raging that they stole your name,
yes,
what inspired you to get involved with this diverse community what inspired you to get involved with this party that has such this beautiful mix here?
From the issues perspective, I'm obviously I feel very strongly about equality and discrimination issues. So one area of interest that I'm very passionate about is discrimination in the school ground. Children are particularly vulnerable, very impressionable, and I'm quite concerned too with suicide rates amongst the gay and lesbian and transgender communities. So that's one area of focus that I'm quite passionate about. So it's these issues that drew me to the Australian Equality Party. And my involvement, I feel, is quite, I guess it fits in and blends in with my other interests that I do. I'm also on the committee at the Law Institute for the LGBTI lawyers. And so I thought this was a great way of, if you like, synchronising my interest with interest in policy development and pushing that through in the political space. Yeah.
What differentiates you from the other political parties out there? I mean, I'm a lesbian myself, and I...
Really?
You know.
And you're a beautiful lesbian, by the way.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So am I.
So I'm a lesbian. I believe strongly in equality for people within our community. But why should I vote for you over another party? What differentiates you? What will you actually do if you get a Senate seat?
Our biggest differentiator is we are an independent, unencumbered equality voice from an LGBTI perspective. So nowhere in the Australian Parliament, state or federal level, is there someone who has an unencumbered approach to our stories and our needs. And I think that's the major, major difference. So as I said, I love our friends in the other parties who do good things, but it's time for us to speak for ourselves. That's the main thing. I also feel like the humanist side of politics, which is very prevalent in Europe but not prevalent here, is missing. And we need to have a stronger voice that's not left-sounding all the time or right-sounding, but a stronger voice around human rights, fairness and equality. And when you look at the policies that are being presented both on both sides at the moment, it's depressing because there are other words like access and inclusion that go in there as well. And we are starting... There are policies being put in place that are excluding people from participating fully in the community. So everyone, for me personally, everyone should be entitled to have a good education and ideally a free education that makes it good for everybody. If you take care of the marginalized person, you take care of everybody else. So we are, as part of the diverse sexuality and gender community, we're trying to, all the different phrases we can use, but we are on, once you take care of us, you almost then take care of everybody. Because even from a feminist perspective, homophobia comes from probably a hatred of women, because somehow a man being feminine is bad.
I suppose in that particular case, it's more about a type, a perceived lack of masculinity, and therefore we, when one looks at someone who is homosexual, oh gosh, we're going into cultural things here. This is, I won't get too involved, but I can see your point there. But it's maybe not so much as a hatred of women, more a hatred of feminization.
Yes, but yeah. Of course, because they're social constructs anyway, yeah. Masculine and feminine.
Yeah,
it was only 100 years
very
ago
much a social
that
construct.
Blue was a girl's color and pink was a boy's color 100 years ago. So
isn't that fantastic? Yeah. I want that back. Well, maybe, I already wear it.
Yeah, maybe in 100 years it'll be changed again. But the point, I get that, and so. What's the difference is you'll actually have access, which you don't have right now. I can hardly speak to my local member. We'll have an independent voice that really will consult with the various parts of our community. And we will do what we say and mean what we say and not bullshit anybody, which I think would be really quite nice.
I'm sorry, you're going to politics?
And there are no loonies in our party.
What defines a loony?
I'll let you define that yourself. But
yeah, because, I mean, then it looks like that you could be excluding people who are living with any particular...
I don't mean that way. I just mean in the sense that I remember I had a chat with Mr. Rodney Croom, who's a fabulous man down in Tasmania, last October, and I said to him, I bounced this idea off him, and he said to me, well, you're not a loony, Jason, and that really is a very good start. And I thought that was quite insightful because there are actually people in the Senate right now, and I'm not going to name them, who are probably not fit to be in that role, irrespective of which party they came from. Because the Senate there is to review legislation, right? So the whole point of it is not to make legislation, but to review it from an intelligent... So this is the other thing that we're different, Emma. We'll be broadly... have an idea of what we're talking about broadly across a whole spectrum of things. And we can then go, yes, that fits. That's going to make this place a better place. No, that doesn't fit. It's going to make this place a worse place, so we're not going to vote for that. And obviously, if it's anything that's going to improve LGBTI persons' lives, we're going to vote for it and agitate for it without any compromise. So, I mean, because it was only recently still that even the marriage equality advocates, it was just about same-sex marriage. Well, actually, no, it needs to be for anybody of irrespective of their gender affirmation. And I had lunch with Tony Briffer a few months back, and
I like Tony.
Tony's amazing. Yeah. And Tony went to New Zealand and was able to marry their wife with an undefined gender. New Zealand is so more progressive than we are. And I can never make fun of them, our new Kiwi friends anymore, because they, first country to let women.
Let's not go that far.
No, but it's true. First country to let women to vote, and they've had marriage equality in its truest, fullest sense for a year and a half. And they have lots of progressive things and wonderfully, they think broadly, and they're not afraid to try some things out because the outcomes are going to make life better for everybody. And I think that's really important.
I'm curious to know, particularly when you're talking about marriage equality as such, that you is this relating to two people?
Yes.
Okay. So
polyamorous friends, and I've had quite a few meals with some polyamorous people, and look, the marriage, this is the other thing. I was at the HIV conference for a week. I spent a week at the AIDS 2014 in Melbourne.
I think we all spent that,
Extraordinary week. And death was a part of every conversation. And I asked I can't remember his name, an amazing doctor who's just done a whole stack of work in that area. And I asked him, I said, what is the most important policy change in Australia that's needed for LGBTI people? And I was really interested to see what he'd say, because I didn't have any, I came completely blank sheet with him. He said to me, marriage equality. And I said, why? He said, because if people have stable relationships, and this is the phrase he used, and it leads to less risky behavior, better mental health outcomes, and it's a stabilizing part of the community. So marriage is not for everybody.
Mm.
And right now, if you're a heterosexual person, you can get married if you want to.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. If you want to have a family, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And there's no, if you want to have sex with 10 people, you want to be polyamorous, you want to have multiple partners, you want to do whatever you want to do, open relationships, you can do that as long as they're consensual and they're legal.
Yeah.
Marriage, which was really shocking to me and really a real positive thing, it is one of those things that two persons, and that's sort of the general understanding at this point in time, but it may change down the track
to be
more inclusive of three persons or four persons.
Because stability that indicates that two people would have a balance, but three people can also have a balance as well. But as you said, it could change. It's just what's the current position.
And marriage evolves. So I'm a marriage celebrant, so I marry 70 couples a year.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, just on that, is it personally difficult for you being a marriage celebrant when people in your community can't get married and you have to say that line about marriage being between a man and a woman?
Yeah, it is. And I had a, bless him, I had a guy a few months back, he said to me after the ceremony, it must really give you the shits that you have to say that. And I said, yeah, it does, but I'm really happy for you.
That's it. Of course you would be.
But it does, yes. And every weekend I'm saying it at least once. And what's been really nice, though, the last couple of years, about a quarter of the weddings now, someone in the ceremony somewhere says, we don't agree with that. It's been a real shift. And it's really nice, because it's lovely when you hear non-GLBTI people stand up and say, you know, we're okay and we love you. And what Josh Thomas said on Q&A the other week, I thought was the best thing ever. He said, when he said to, what's his face from Queensland? Bob. Just apologise, say sorry for saying stupid things, and celebrate us and throw some glitter. And we'll be all happy, because it is. It's about just celebrating us and knowing that, you know, we are all valuable people, and I couldn't give a shit about a straight person what they do with their life. As long as they love me back and respect me as another equal human being, I'll love them and respect them back as an equal human being. I have found some of our right-wing friends won't sit down and have a coffee with me, won't sit down and have a meal with me, and that to me is sort of the line. If you're not prepared to have a coffee and meal and talk about stuff, then that's disappointing. But I don't know, it's time to celebrate each other.
Maybe they're just worried about getting glitter into some very unusual orifices.
It is time to celebrate our community, though. And this is Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9 with Patrick and Emma, and we're speaking with Jason and Sharon from the Australian Equality Party. Now, we just heard earlier from Glee, loser like me. Glee.
Well, that's my motto. They asked us to pick some songs for tonight. So
yes.
We started with Dancing Queen, which is the greatest song of all time by the greatest band of all time.
Of course.
And I've met three of the four members of ABBA. They're my...
Except for the one that's disappeared off the face of
the earth.
But
she doesn't really, but I've not met her.
Yeah, and but she came back, really.
And it's Glee's version, but loser like me really is my motto in some ways. I love the fact that we can celebrate that we aren't the powerful.
What? Sorry, I missed that.
Blues Are Like Me, the Glee song. Yeah. That song, those words are really affirming by not being, you know, I'm so fantastic, I'm so great.
Actually. True. Okay. Now I can see where you're coming from.
Okay.
Now.
Thank you.
Okay. I just got a little bit confused. So I'm like, huh? Anyway, moving right along.
Sharon, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role with the party? So you look after volunteers and membership. How can people get involved?
Yeah, more so on the volunteering side at the moment, as volunteers are crucial to the success of our party at 2016. So, you know, as Jason was explaining, you know, I guess the three steps, the three-step plan. So the volunteers are quite critical to that, and we're kind of in that phase now where we need to start building up the volunteers. So I wanted to take this opportunity, if I might, to espouse the virtues of volunteering for us.
Really?
Here
we don't understand virtues of volunteering. We get paid a total of $0 a year.
Yeah. I get zero as well.
Yeah. It feeds a family, doesn't it?
So come join us, have some fun with us, make new friends, meet your soulmate, then Jason can marry you once we get in the Senate. and do some good work for us. So we are needing an illustrator or graphic designer to help us with our social media, a videographer, a social media assistant, advertising. We're looking for some help with copywriting and writers and journalists in general. We need people to help us host events, hand out flyers, so that will be quite critical leading up to 2016. Data entry, not very sexy, but a very critical job.
I beg to differ. Have you not seen it's Bob late at night and he's putting through the numbers, click, 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 off goes the shirt. Sorry.
Well, you might get some of that if you're lucky. And
should I join?
If it's legal and consensual. And a receptionist and fundraising.
So basically, you know, we've got people doing all those things right now, great people, but it's just expanding all the time. So if you've got an ability or a talent or a passion, you want to share it with us, you just go to the Australian Equality website, which is www.australianequality.org, and you can click on volunteer on there and go straight to Sharon. What's the volunteer? What's the email? Volunteers?
It's volunteers@australianequality.org.
For direct, but you can actually email us at mail@australianequality.org as well, and join us, because from February, we're hoping to have 200 or 300 people march with us at Pride.
Oh,
which
fantastic.
Be fantastic, yeah.
So you'd want to get people on board. Now you need some help, but leading up to 2016.
Yeah, so the structure's all been put in place as we speak, and it's everyone can just plug in next year, and we're going to have lots of semi-social stuff that we're doing as well, because people need connection.
You are with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9. Now it is Culture Club with Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're back on Lefty Pinkos and Joy 94.9 with Emma and Patrick this week again. It's been fantastic to have you, Patrick, but we're almost out of time.
What? No, yeah. I'm staying on air. I can be Kurt. I can be Kurt. No, I can't be, because coming up will be transpositions. But I would like to say a big thank you to Jason and Sharon from the Australian Equality Party. It has been fantastic having you guys on Lefty Pinkos here tonight. Now, let's remind all the wonderful listeners about, when is it, February 1st?
Yep, so Pride March. We're going to have an event an hour or two before. You'll hear about it. Come and see the launch of our policy platform and get involved. And obviously our website is available at australianequality.org if you want to plug in or give us some feedback or talk to us.
Yes, definitely. And if you want to become a volunteer, as earlier said, you can contact Sharon, which is volunteers@australianequality.org, correct?
That's correct.
Volunteers or volunteer?
It's volunteers with a plural.
With a plural, yeah. Okay.
We're looking for more than one volunteer.
Who knows? There could be that sexy data entry person who can do everything.
Just that
Patrick's
one volunteer.
Put his hand up for that already.
click, click, click. Anyway, thank you so much, everyone. And thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much for having me back, Emma.
It was a pleasure to have you, Patrick.
And do we have next week lined up?
Not sure what's happening.
Sorry, I put you on the spot. Look, you know what? Tune in next week. Coming up now is Transpositions.
It'll be very exciting next week, I assure you.
Here on Joy 94.9. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.